Shmuel, hope everybody had a very nice day. Yesterday we were discussing the unfortunate circumstance that might occur if a person was bringing the bikurim, the first fruits, and somehow they were stolen or lost or they became impure, and one would still have a responsibility, a financial responsibility, to bring the kohen that which is rightfully his, and therefore one would have to replace the bikurim and bring a replacement set. We discussed how the Rambam and the other Rishonim really had a fundamental dispute as to whether these replacement bikurim could actually be considered bikurim, because by its very nature, bikurim means the first, because can you really replace something that's supposed to be the first? So the Rambam's basic position was that wasn't really possible, and that one was really just satisfying a financial obligation to the Kohen, whereas the other Rishonim took the position that in fact they did have the status of bikurim, insofar as if a non-Kohen would consume them, he would be liable accidentally to make restitution of a Keren Vachomesh, which indicates that they do have Chaloshem Bikurim. Now, we noted that the financial obligation persists if one was unsuccessful in bringing the Bikurim, at least as far as Har HaBayis, the Temple Mount, is concerned. So the next mission inquires, for where do we learn that halacha on the Doraisa level? Minayin Shibchayev Bachrayusan. How do we know that one is responsible for the bikurim to the extent that one would have to replace them until you at least bring them to Har HaBayis in good condition? That means they haven't been stolen, lost, rotted, they haven't become tamei. So the Mishnah says, this is based on a pasuk, Shenema reishis bikurei ad masacha tavi beis Hashem Elokecha. It's your responsibility at minimum to bring them to the house of Hashem. Now it's interesting because there is a nuance here between the pasuk, which indicates that you have to at least bring them to Beis Hashem Elokecha, which is the Beis HaMikdash, and our Mishnah is giving a more permissive, a slightly more a liberal view of this, and saying not the Beis HaMikdash alone, but bringing them to Har HaBayis, the entire Temple Mount, would suffice for those purposes. So there is something of a nuance for further inquiry here. So Melamet Shuchayev Bachrayusan Ad Sheyavi LaHar HaBayis. Now our Mishnah returns to a discussion that we had previously. We noted that there was a dispute between the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda. If you had an individual who separated out Bikurim and then sold his field, and we talked about whether there would be Mikra Bikurim in such a circumstance on either the part of the seller or the buyer. And one of the principles that we discussed in that context was, Higati Ayom LaShem Elokecha Pamachas Humagid Veinu Magid Shnei Pa'amim, that you can't have two people reciting Mikra Bikurim over the same Bikurim. Rabbi Huda's view was different, and he says, well, as we explained at the time, if it's new to you, if you're the buyer, even if the seller happened to bring Bikurim from the field, if it's new to you, then you would continue to recite the Mikra Bikurim. This was a minority view. So be that as it may, going back to our situation, Harei Shehevi Minechad Vekara V'chazer Behevi Minacher Eino Kore. So the Mishnah says, let's say you have the seven species of the land of Israel. I'm just making this up for a second. But let's say your olives ripened before your dates or figs. Frankly, I have no idea if that's the way that it works agriculturally. But let's say that was the case, that you brought the olives and you brought them as bikurim, you recited the mikra bikurim, and then you came back with the figs. Maybe they bloom a month later, and you have that entire time period between Shavuos and Sukkot to do so. So the Mishnah is taking out the position that you would not recite the Mikra Bikurim a second time. And again, Higati Ayom Hashem Elokecha, that you're able to do one Haggadah, you're not able to do a second Haggadah. So it could just be that that's Xeris HaKasev. Again, the Torah simply declared that it should be such. But the Rash Mishans, based on the Yerushalmi, has, I think, a really fascinating insight. He says, well, the truth is, the Torah says, V'samachta b'chol hatov asher nasan l'cha Hashem Elokecha, that you should be rejoicing. And, there's something about the first time. So when you came with the olives, you really experienced that sense of joy and the bounty that you had. So even though it's a different species, the figs or the dates or the grapes or whatever it is, the Rash Mishan suggests, based on the Yerushalmi, that maybe the reason that you can't make a second recitation of Mikra Bikurim has to do with the fact that Mikra Bikurim has to be done b'simcha, with a sense of joy. And maybe you can really only experience that joy the first time that you're bringing from the first fruits of this year, even if you want to say, well, it's a different species. So that, I think, is a particularly fascinating way of analyzing our case. And I'll just leave you off with a question, something that as I was making my own notes this morning, I put it in the notes, and something that I certainly want to inquire further. But this whole idea of pamachas umagid, that you have one opportunity to recite the Mikra Bikurim, Ve'enu Magid Shnei Pa'amim, is very reminiscent of a halacha in a completely different area, in the halachos of testimony of Eidos, where there is a principle of Kevan Shehigid. Once the witness has given his testimony, Shuvenu Choser Umagid, they're not allowed to go and recant or retract or adjust their testimony. Yeah, that's one of the principles in halacha. It almost sounds exactly the same. Pamachas umagid, venu magid shnei pamim. That's what it is in Bikurim. In Eidos, it's kevan shehigid, shuvenu choser umagid. So it got me thinking a lot about, you know, with this idea of mikra Bikurim, maybe it's a form of testimony. In fact, you're testifying before God to all the goodness that God has brought into one's life and the bounty that one has. So again, maybe it's a fascinating thing to consider, and I don't have any dispositive proof yet. Maybe one of you will supply me with the smoking gun, with the clear proof that it's actually a form of Eidos, and it's really a subcategory of this principle of Kevan Chegid Shuvin Echozer Magid. So I leave it to you. Please, if anybody is aware of anybody who makes that connection, or can demonstrate to me that Mikra Bikurim has the status of Eidos, that would be doing me a very great service. I would be indebted. Rabbi Chananah ben Akashim, Rabbi Tzikas Baruch Hu Zakos, Yisrael Lefikach, Hirvam Tamitzvah, Shenemar, Neichav Eitzman Tzidko, Yagdil Teravi Adir, Kaddish Terabbanan.